Hello, and welcome to Notes of the North Talks, a series where we get to know our local Canadian musical talent. Today, I am here with Dr. Sophie Dupuy. Thank you so much, Sophie, for joining me today.
Thanks, Brianna.
Let's jump right in. So first and foremost, I'd love to get a bit of a glimpse into your background. So where in Canada do you call home?
So I grew up in Edmonton in New Brunswick, and after several years in Nova Scotia and then Ontario, I returned home to Edmonton, New Brunswick. So this is definitely my ground, my home.
Awesome. And we can see there's definitely a few Canadian locations that hold a special place in your heart, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So what first drew you into composition then?
It wasn't something we were talking a little bit about that earlier, but it's not something that I knew was a possibility. Growing up in a rural area of New Brunswick, exposition to cultural opportunities are very few and far in between. We have a great community that is really trying to keep arts alive, etc. But we didn't have very expanded programs in high school, for example. So I really realized that you could become a composer during my time at university. So I started a bachelor in science and music, thinking, oh, I'm going to become a physician. But yeah, the program really expanded my views on the different avenues you could take in music. And there are so many that you don't necessarily consider as a younger individual. So it was really at university that I considered it. Yeah.
Perfect. How would you introduce your music and style to a first-time listener?
Yeah, well, lately I've come up with my first album. So it was published in October of last year. But the feedback that I got from it is that it reminds people a little bit of film music. And I guess that's a positive thing, because I don't compose thinking of film music, but I compose thinking of definitely of a narrative throughout the course of a piece, and it helps people kind of relate to that and create their own imagery in their imagination to go along with the piece, and anything that can help people who aren't really into contemporary music grasp the meaning of the music is really helpful in communicating that in pre-concert talks, for example. But if I had to describe my music, I think there's a level of complexity, especially when it involves multiple instruments, not necessarily in the techniques, but in the combination of the instruments, the layering of the instruments. And there was definitely something a little, you know, whimsical and in my head comical, although it does come across sometimes as creepy to other people. Oh. So it's really funny how intentions, the way it's constructed, can be interpreted differently by others. And I think that's the beauty of arts and experimenting around with it. Yeah.
Definitely, that's fantastic. Could you recommend a piece that really encapsulates the style that you introduced?
Yeah, well, I think it's the third piece on my album, Taken by the Locos. This one is for violin and percussion, and it's very, like, the inspiration behind it is a scene from the animated movie Madagascar. And it's just the one with the lemurs just you know, acting completely unhinged and crazy and just being unapologetic.
Yeah,
I can't say it. Unapologetically themselves. There you go. So the piece is inspired by that, and in it you can hear a lot of woodblocks and metals that are kind of taking that K sound that we hear in words like crazy, loco, cuckoo, or taken by the locos. So there's the percussion side, and the violin side is a little bit more like free-flowing, but also imitates that craziness, or perhaps freedom in some ways. Anyway, so it comes across as something that could be in a horror movie, but you know, but it was inspired by a comical scene in a movie. So yeah, it is funny, and I think as we're trying to get away from the tonal system and explore sounds for being sounds, it's hard to get away from pitches. And if you're not paying attention necessarily to consonances, then you get a lot of dissonances by default, and that sometimes can create, you know, harshness that folks relate to something unpleasant and whatnot. So there's that too. There's this area of experimentation where there's meaning attached already to these sounds, and it's inevitable that people will use that as a reference naturally.
Interesting. Yeah, your compositions often draw inspiration from various sources, like the piece you mentioned from a shot in a movie. Is there any other example where your creative process was initiated by a form of art that was other than, I guess, a movie scene or a different movie scene?
Yeah, well, it's funny because as a young composer, it's like your ideas have marinated and generated over years and years, and then all of a sudden you have the opportunity to put it on paper, and it's a really liberating process, and it comes in quite naturally and quickly for a lot of people, and then at some point it just stops a little bit because, well, there's many factors. First, you become more curious about what you can do. Perhaps you want to try something different. You're also searching. I think it's a lifelong search for your identity and yourself. And then there's external factors, like now there's expectations and you know, social pressure and pressure from peers, and it's not something that you can avoid, but it's definitely something that for artists tend to hinder the creative process because you have that constant fear of doing something wrong. So all of these factors made it so that for me anyway, I needed to start finding external sources of inspiration to see where my creativity could go. So using only internal sources of inspiration, you're limited to what you know. So when you start exploring outwards, it's really fun actually discovering new things about the most random things. Like I wrote a piece that was that's called Rebond Cosmique, like cosmic rebound, and I found the term. It's a scientific theory that opposes the Big Bang theory, where it was just an explosion. So this cosmic rebound refers to kind of the expansion and retraction of the universe, retracting to the point where it will collide and then explode. So it's not just a big explosion, it's like a renewable process.
Interesting.
Kind of things. But you find out about these things because you're curious about them. So more and more I try to research these things. But what resonates with me the most is imagery of that kind.
Yes. Sometimes composers have rituals or habits that get them into a creative mindset. What are some of yours, if you have any?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, and I think I haven't found the perfect ritual. I find more and more that rest is really important. Rest and time between maybe days of composition. You know, you try to do a little composition every day, but sometimes just stepping away from a piece and coming back to it with a fresh eye is really helpful. But I don't have, you know, like a prayer that I say and then set the mood with some incense. Like that's not what gets me working. Yeah. So just rest, I think.
I love that. We all need more rest.
Yes.
Work often also explores themes of nature, like you touched on cosmic rebounds, and there's also like themes of nature and environmentalism in some of your works, as seen in titles like, I think there's like, there will be no ice left in the Arctic in 22 years from now or something.
That's right, yeah.
Share how these themes breathe life into your music, and are there any messages you hope to convey to audiences?
Well, that's really interesting because, you know, truthfully, a part of these works have been commissioned, and it was a little bit of a, not a trend, but something that was really popular with, you know, a grand jury panel, these ideas of conservation and promoting conservation and whatnot. So at one point, I received several commissions where the criteria was that it had to be about nature and whatnot. And again, like when you're exploring those themes, you do your research and then you learn a lot about it. So that's really interesting. But naturally, I am drawn to nature, having lived in a rural area. And yeah, that's, I don't know, it's a little bit cliche for Canadian, I think, to be inspired by nature, but at some point you can't really deny
Around
what's
you.
fueling your well. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, your compositions often feature these complex themes and intricate melodies and harmonies, which is beautiful, but do you often find it challenging to balance these complexities with accessibility? Is this something you keep in mind, like connecting to the audience when you write? Or is it just purely what comes out and everyone deals with it?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question, and it's fun that you asked that actually, because I did talk a little bit about external pressures earlier, and that's definitely something that, you know, you want to write something good. You want to. Nobody wants to produce something that's not really good. So obviously there's that. But I've been working with a therapist for quite a few years, and it's kind of made me come to the realization that it's really a block for creatives to have these expectations, and it hinders what you really want to put out. So it's really important when I'm having these blocks, to me anyway, to go inside me and think, okay, what do I want to achieve? What is important to me? What, you know, what do I want to contribute to the community, to the arts, to the people around me? But coming from inside, you know, I'm not thinking of what do people want to hear. It's really what do I want to contribute to, and in a way, it's a very egocentric way to operate. But I think it's really important to stay true to yourself. And for other people, it might be different. They might very well relate to the audience, but that's, you know, that's their mission as an artist, and that's okay. It's just not mine. I'm a bit of a rebel in advance, so whatever someone tells me not to do something, I just want to do more of it. So if the general public have a hard time connecting with my pieces, it's you know, sometimes it sucks a little bit because you do want to your work to be valued. But if in having integrity, you worked on something that you know is of high value because of the technicalities and the shapes that you give them it to give the music. I think there's something rewarding in that as well. So it's a very, very complex question, is the bottom line.
And there's also such like a fine line too, because this value of what composers create, it's like it's just so difficult, because it's like determined by all of these societal perceptions, but then again, us as artists, we should be able to have like the final say, I guess, on the value of work. But then again, like the success in the market, for example, on more economic matters is determined by other people's reception of what we create. So
yeah, that's right. And to be quite blunt about it, as classical composers who have, you know, rates set by the CLC, for example, Canadian League of Composers, on how we should be paid for work, we're very blessed. It's very difficult to get grants these days, and in that regard, it's not as great. But you know, we are blessed to not have this expectation of my piece needs to become a commercial success. Like, maybe it's some people's expectations, yeah, we do have that freedom of experimenting. And throughout history, you have these composers who like pushed the boundaries and did experimentations. And then some pop artists that, you know, do their research and discover new music and see what an experimental composer did and is now applying it to their own popular commercial music. You know, so the contemporary music field is really like a discovery playing ground that can inspire other people. So the outreach is a lot bigger than we think, really. But that process is happening over time. And meanwhile, while we're existing and creating this music, these experiments can be alienating for others. So you know, it's very complex. Yeah.
Well, going back to the idea of Notes of the North, how do you see your music contributing to Canada's musical identity, particularly as a Francophone composer from New Brunswick?
Yeah, that's also a very tricky question, and I'm not sure I can answer that properly. I think maybe if I was to look back at my work in a few years from now, I could kind of situate my work a little better in what's going on in Canada. But because I try not to get too psyched out by what else is going on and really, really focus on what I want to create, it's a little difficult. The other thing too is that you don't want to pretend that, you know, you're changing the landscape of Canadian music as the one composer, you know. But yeah, hopefully I contribute to something. I think it's everyone's desire to be remembered for what they do. I'll say that my music, especially for larger ensembles, tends to be a little bit more complex, so maybe that's kind of something that's adding to the orchestral repertoire. And it's tricky too, because orchestras, when they encounter some of my music, they don't really know where their instruments situate themselves in the music. Because it's really not conventional. So, for example, if the violin has a melody, well, violinists are used to having melody, so you know they'll play these lavish lines and over the accompaniment, and they'll know where they are in the music. But the way I tend to write the music, it's one big one big soundscape that is kind of shaped in valleys and mountains. And so the first violins who will be used to have this melody might have a line that, oh, it's not quite, it's not quite coming out of the texture. Actually, it's part of the texture. And oh, we're kind of below while we're used to being on the higher register. So yeah, all these little things might contribute to, you know, some changes in conventional ways of music making music. But I know a lot of composers also work like that with orchestras. So yeah, I guess I'm more part of that movement, if I can say.
Uh-huh, going beyond the norms, as they say. Yes. You are serving, I believe, as president of the Canadian League of Composers. So this must have provided unique insights into the broader landscape of Canadian contemporary music. How has having this role shaped your perspective on the Canadian music scene, both on the national scale and also on the global stage?
Yeah, actually, I'm a past president now, so my mandate ended last year. But it's really fun having been in that position, realizing how composition and contemporary composition is, like the definition is looser and looser than what it was. You know, we used to see composers as very academic and with Western, you know, European influences, and even at the Canadian League of Composers, in the past, if you wanted to be a member, you had to have had some sort of diploma in a higher degree, like a master's degree diploma. It's no longer the case. It's really if you're considering yourself a professional composer, yes or no. And even then, you know, there's some work to be done with the guidelines. But it's been really refreshing seeing the different backgrounds of composers now, people coming from, you know, rock, hip hop, delving a little bit more into sound exploration, and even themselves sometimes they'll be hesitant to call themselves composers because of how the term had been used before as something very academic. So yeah, it's great. It's very exciting to see where it's going with all these different influences, and then we have all these interdisciplinary artists that, you know, craft their own instruments and play on them. And there are also beautiful art installations. So we're, you know, overlapping art with music. It's not more one or the other. It's really both. So it's really changing in this way. And we see a little bit more experimentation in different countries where it's a little bit more integrated and probably the politics and the terms, how they are used in these countries. So Canada has some work to do. It's very difficult because we have a very large country and not as dense a population, so the opportunities are not the same everywhere as well. And these people who are kind of doing their own thing with their own background, with their own influences, and have this very special music might not have the network and the outreach that other composers have in larger center. So yeah, but it's very interesting and inspiring if you start paying attention. Yeah.
Very well put. Well, that pretty much wraps up today's episode. So thank you so much again, Sophie, for sharing such incredible pieces of your art and heart.
Thank you. Thanks, Brianna.
And until next time, folks, keep listening for the Notes of the North.